Hello, my name is Raul, and I welcome you to the Inspire Me podcast, where I discuss with a variety of guests that personally inspire me. Let me start first by presenting you, Tia Almond. Is that how you pronounce your first name?
Tia Almond.
Tia Almond.
Yeah.
Is that short for something?
No.
No? Okay. It's the first time I hear that that name. That's why. It's not as common here.
Yeah, it's a different name, but some people call me Tay for short, but the full, it's like, yeah, my full name is Taya.
Okay, cool. Tay. Yeah, I like that. It's a nice nickname.
Thank you.
So I'm Raul, and so I'll be the host for the episode. So this is episode number 11 for me. The way I came up with the podcast is basically, like I said, the theme of the podcast is like inspiration. So all the guests that I have discussions with are all people that inspire me, and in different ways. Some it's through sport, some it's through art. And I try not to specifically say why my guest inspires me, so that listeners can discover that from themselves. Like if they listen to our full episode, they will know why you inspire me. Hopefully, you know, that works, but usually it works. I know I sent you like a few points, the talking points and everything. And like I said in the communication that I sent you, you know, it's not like that's like our plan, but, you know, we can deviate from the plan if it's fine. The only thing we'll try to respect is maybe try to keep it within 1 hour. Usually there's no issue with that. So let me start by the first point. And the first point is not the first point that I sent you.
Okay.
The first point, I always like to start out with how I met the person, how we came about to this discussion. And for you, it was like when I started the podcast, one of the things that I try to do is, I try to learn a lot. And I think one of the best tools to learn is to go and listen to other podcasts and see what type of content they're creating and how they're doing it. And maybe there are things that, you know, I could do that would fit with my podcast and they're, interesting for me as well. So, and also I try to analyze, for example, those that have like podcasts with a lot of, you know, very popular podcasts, why they are so popular. I guess one of the reasons I found what they all have in common is that they're good communicators. Mm-hmm. So, and me, I'm attracted to that as well. Like a person that has good communication skills. I like that a lot. Your page attracted me. And the fact that you replied to me like pretty fast once I started to follow you, so we created like a like pretty quick relationship, like through social media that way, and just the fact that you were like really eager to collaborate and like share your guest list and any contact, so I found that interesting. And I found you interesting, actually. And I felt like I wanted to talk to you. So that's how it came about. So maybe can you tell us?
Can you hear my dog, Rebel?
Yeah, you have a dog?
Can you hear him barking?
Yeah, I heard him.
I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm trying to get him out. Sometimes he has a mind of his own. But first of all, thank you so much for your kind words. Honestly, that means a lot. And I love connecting. And I felt the same way as soon as we started messaging. I was like, I wanted to help in any way that I could. And I'm new too. So I love connecting with podcasters because I agree there's so much we can learn from each other. So yeah, thank you for reaching out and for your kind words.
Awesome. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself, like maybe an overview of your story and like how you came about like creating a podcast, maybe the name of your podcast, and you know, and we can like move forward from there.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, it all kind of came about as me just really wanting to do something meaningful in my life. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but I kind of went through some things. So I grew up with a very loving, amazing family. And all of a sudden, you know, out of the blue, about 3.5 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And she was basically given 4 months to live. And a year after losing her, we also lost our grandma. And our grandma was a very important part of our lives. She was like a sassy little thing, and she loved sports, and she would always come cheer us on. And so I think when you lose people you love in such a short amount of time, you know, two of your biggest cheerleaders and supporters, you kind of have this fundamental shift in the core of who you are and your being, you know, in the way that you see life and in the way that you want to spend your time here. And for me, it was really searching for what that is, you know, because for years I had this voice inside my head that said, like, you are capable of more. You know, the same voice that so many of us have inside our head, and the same voice that says you can do something meaningful with your life. And so often I think we just kind of shut that down and we bury it. And I started thinking about that, and a lot of it for me had to do with, from the outside looking in, my life looked great. You know, I married a wonderful man, had a good job, worked with great people. So there was almost a sense of guilt. You know, like, why do I think I deserve more than this? And why can't I just be grateful for what I have? And I think the reason behind that was because I had more to give. And I think that so many of us do have more to give. I truly, truly believe that. And there's this great a guest that we had recently on a podcast. It hasn't aired yet, but he said this thing that really resonated with me. And he said that sometimes the universe takes away the things we love most in life in order for us to realize that our worth does not reside there. And when he said that, it kind of just hit me, because I had realized that when I lost my mom, I lost a big piece of myself. You know, because so often it's your parents and who you grow up with that put this sense of, you know, you can do and be anything you want, and you can, you're beautiful and intelligent and smart and all these things, and you believe them, right? And so when I lost her, I kind of lost a big part of that. And I went down this hole of, who am I now without her in my life? And I knew I wanted to do something special. And so a girlfriend of mine that I think joined the conversation, if I saw that right, Michelle, hi. she was a huge supporter, and she said to me, you know, Tay, have you ever thought of going back to your journalism roots? And I graduated with a degree in journalism, and I'm a communications specialist. And I was like, I would love to do that. And she said, have you ever thought of starting a podcast? And I swear to you, from that point on, there was just this fire, this adrenaline that, to be honest with you, is like continually pumping. So I'm tired and I like miss hours of sleep. But it's a good thing, because my energy, it's just about creating things and how I can improve and grow and how I can help others. And so it's a really empowering emotion to feel, and one that truthfully I hadn't felt for about a decade of my life. And I think that's amazing. You know, how much time can just pass and we can go through the motions and be okay with that. And then when you witness life being taken from people you really love, you realize that maybe you don't have that time, and maybe the time is right friggin' now, you know, like you need to do it now. So on the birthday month of my mom and my grandma, my brother and I launched the Up Top podcast in honor of those who are up top. And also I think big, like most importantly, in honor of people who crave more out of life and who are really driven to reach their fullest potential. So the podcast is chats with experts in their fields and goal crushers who are sharing their secrets to success and happiness. And a big part of the podcast has and always will be our random acts of kindness. You know, growing up without a lot of money, my brother and I saw firsthand how much the community rallied around us and supported our family. And so now that we've grown up and we're in a place where we can kind of give back where we can. We try and do little random acts of kindness around the city and make people know that they're valued and appreciated and special. And so, yeah, it's been one of the most special adventures of my life.
That's awesome. Actually, I like I didn't know exactly like what the name referred to. And so I like the up top and, you know, what to, it refers to. And, you know, really sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I actually worked as a coach for the Leukemia Foundation. So I saw a lot of cases like that people, you know, they had loss in their family. And that's what inspired them, like, to complete something that they would never think possible, and raise a lot of money, actually, and awareness for that. So, yeah, that really, you know, connects with me a lot. So you mentioned about your podcast a little bit, like how you started this with your brother and the name. I don't know if you could tell us maybe a little bit more about when exactly, like what year. I think it's pretty recently, but maybe which year and like how your community grew and, you know, what's your plan like moving forward with this project?
Yeah, so we started last September, and so we're pretty new. We're coming up on a year in September, and the community, I mean, I think I knew very early on that going through that grief and that heartache, I knew that in order to pull myself out of it, I had to surround myself with really positive people doing good things in their life. And I didn't want to waste a second being in any negativity. And so I knew that I wanted to create this podcast so that people that didn't have that ability, you know, because not everyone comes from a family that's really loving and encouraging. And not everyone has a group of friends that pushes them to be better. And so I wanted it to be a way for them to kind of jump from this bubble of their life into a new one simply by pressing play. And all of a sudden, they could be transcended to a world where anything was and is possible. And so that's kind of based on the community. And then we also wanted it to be a community that embraced entertainment and fun, because my brother and I grew up watching Saturday Night Live and doing little SNL skits with the VHS camera. And so we try and have fun with our guests. We'll have random sing-alongs to like New Kids on the Block or Boys to Men or Arcade Fire. And then we really also wanted the community to be very welcoming to everyone, you know, very inclusive, because, you know, for example, we had an episode with a relationship expert and we put out to the audience, hey, do you guys have any questions? I mean, we all have questions about love and relationships, right? So we took their questions and we were able to put them in the episode. So we try and make sure that they're as engaged as possible. And in terms of where we want to take this, I think Up Top has always been more to us than just a podcast. And I don't say just a podcast lightly, because a lot of people think it's easy to do a podcast, but I'm sure you've learned this as well. It is a lot of work, but it's a labor of love. And so we wanted it to be a way of living, a way of encouraging people to live fearlessly, to go after what they want, to not hesitate, and to live joyfully. And in a state of gratitude. And I know gratitude is such a buzzword right now, so it's hard for me to even say it. But in my own life, it was a massive game changer. When I went from focusing on what I didn't have in life and I shifted it to focusing on what I did have, what I wanted, and how I could get more of it, my entire life changed. And so I have a lot of gratitude for gratitude. And yeah, so that's kind of the community that we're building, and that's how we want to continue moving it forward.
That's awesome. Could you tell us a little bit more, like when we did like the initial banter at the beginning of the episode, you mentioned that like you were like the weather over there. So maybe you can tell us a little bit more like where you are, the city, your province.
Yeah, so we're in Calgary, Alberta, and I I'm like loving our city these days. I love it. One thing I'm most proud of that I hear a lot is when people move here from other places, they oftentimes say that they love how friendly everyone is and how welcoming that is. And that always makes my heart happy, because it's hard enough to move to a new place and not really know people. So the more open we can be as a city, I think the better. But I also love how our city has expanded. So we're typically known to be more of a conservative city, you know, with oil and gas and whatnot. But throughout the years, we've really expanded to become this hub of culture and art and music and great food and restaurants and breweries. And there's so much to do now. And so that's why I'm very much in love with it. We also just got scooters in the city. So I think Montreal's probably had them for a while now. But now you can scoot all over the city, and it's a lot of fun. And then the coolest thing too is that within 45 minutes, you can go from the hustle and bustle of the city to the beautiful Canadian Rocky Mountains, where the water is turquoise and you look up and you're just surrounded by these gorgeous mountains all around you. And so, yeah, I love our city. I love Montreal too. I've been there as well, and I love Montreal as well.
Awesome. So could you tell us something maybe only locals know about Calgary?
Only locals know. Okay, well, I'm really obsessed with ice cream. I love good ice cream. So if anyone out there is looking to come to Calgary, they should send me a DM or shoot me an email, and I'll send them a full list of all the best ice cream places here. And then also, though, if anyone is looking, or you're looking, or you're coming here, let me know, because I can give you like a detailed list of all the cool things that only locals know about, which would mostly be like restaurants, great ice cream, the best spots to watch the sunrise, the sunset, things like that, the best road trips to take from Calgary to the mountains. There's so much.
Awesome. Cool. So I like that. I like to have like the inside scoop.
Yeah. Did I sell it to you? Are you going to come now?
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I was interested is like the Calgary Stampede. That was like the only thing. I mean, when I heard about Calgary, that is that. Have you been there to the Stampede?
I've been like every year of my life. Okay. So
is it across the whole city, or is it like in a specific area?
Yeah, so it's right downtown, and they call it the biggest outdoor show in the world. And it's great. It's, you know, they have free music, free performances all week, and then they have big acts that come through to like our big stadium to perform, like big country acts. And then there's a rodeo, like if you're into that sort of thing. And then there's just, it's a pretty party. Like it's a big party scene.
Line dancing?
Lots of line dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. A boot scoot and boogie. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So you're like a cowboy a bit, no?
I am not. I think we all turn into cowgirls and cowboys for that period of time. So if you ever come during Stampede, you'll think we're all like that, you know, because we all rock a hat and we get all dressed up. But then as soon as it ends, we're like back in our normal work attire.
For 2 weeks.
It's like an opportunity to dress up. It's like adult dress up time.
Yeah. What did he say? Who is that?
That's my brother. He said it's like cowboy Halloween.
Okay. Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, there is like a festival around here in Montreal. It's like in another city, not too far from here. And they do like rodeo, a little bit like I would say like a mini Calgary Stampede. And I went there a year, and like as soon as you get there, you have to buy a hat. Like if you don't have a cowboy hat on, you look ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's like like here downtown in Montreal, if you have a cowboy hat on, you might look odd, but there, if you don't have one during that festival, you look odd. So you have to buy, they sell it everywhere.
Yes.
The first thing that you do, you buy one, you put it on, and then you're like part of like the group.
I like that. Exactly. I love it.
So we talked about your podcast before, and actually you mentioned it a little bit. And I went a little bit through the same thing when I started. Initially, like I started like discussions, And then, you know, it came into a podcast. And then, like, when I started to think a little bit more about the project, actually, the podcast was just a tool. And I saw it more as like building a community. So when I started to think about it like that way, about building a community, and that the podcast was just a tool for that, then it actually opened up a lot of more things. Like I saw that basically a lot of the things that I did in my life, maybe my whole life, like could be like, related to that building the community. And the podcast was just one of the element, but now like I've integrated like a training element, which is like separate than the podcast. And, you know, eventually I'll start like creating events and all of that. You know, everything is part of the community. And like I say to like all the guests that have collaborated, and some people have collaborated through like the training aspect of it as well. And people that are listening to the podcast, like everybody's in the community. Like if I do a party, I invite everybody.
Nice.
So it's like, well, it's not like just like one aspect of it. So when I see it like that, it becomes a lot more like inclusive. I don't know, the word community, like for me, it is a very like powerful word. I don't know for you, what does that word mean to you? How do you define it? How do you define it? And maybe how do you define it in your life?
Oh, okay. Well, I love the word community, first of all. And the first thing that comes to mind for me is a sense of belonging. And I think that's so important, because I think as humans, that's what we all crave at our core, is to belong. And then I'm an optimist at heart. So to me, I'm going with like my ideal community is one that is based and founded in love, and is one that lifts and encourages people. Hands down, that is the best part of a community to be involved with. And what was your question with my community in my own life?
How does it impact, like you mentioned it a little bit before, like when you were younger, the community helped you a lot, and now you're giving back to the community, so you have like a relationship with it.
Yeah, I think so. I think giving back and helping and contributing is so important. And I think so many of us know that as well, right? We realize that we're very fortunate to have what we have in life. And even if you suffer loss or you go through different difficult times, you still are able to acknowledge how lucky you are to have the family you have, the friends you have, you know, around you. And so community has been huge for me, because when I was really, really struggling and didn't quite know how to get out of the funk of going through loss, my community was everything. And truthfully, I don't know if I could have done it without them, you know, because they're really what held me together. And they're really what guided me on this new adventure. I would never be doing this if it weren't for a girlfriend that was like, hey, you should do this, you know? And then I was like, yeah, I should. And then another girlfriend that told me like, you can do it. You can do anything. And I was like, I can? Like, oh shit. Okay. Like, I'm going to give this a try then. So I think community is incredibly important. And I think we have to be very selective of who we have around us, because that can change the trajectory of our lives.
When you studied the journalism, was like podcasting part of like that curriculum or not really? Was there something like related to that?
There was no podcasting when I took journalism. But I actually went to school in the US for a bit. I was playing soccer there, and I studied specifically radio and television. And I remember hosting my first radio show, and it went terribly. Like, I did it with one of my best girlfriends, and I thought that would be a good idea. But then we ran out of things to talk about within the first like 5 minutes, and it was a 20-minute show. And I was just like, okay. Oh, no. So I didn't do great in that class or on that project. But I've always been fascinated with people's stories and getting to know people. And my husband sometimes like makes fun of me because I ask so many questions, but I can't help it. Like, I'm just curious. And yeah, and then I came back here, came home to Canada, to Calgary, and did the journalism program. And it was mostly writing journalism at that point, which is another huge passion of mine. And yeah, so that's kind of how I went through the program there.
So podcasting is like a lot of things and very popular now. Like basically it's in the world of like content creation, and especially now with like the pandemic and everything, we got really connected with like, I would say like content creation, even those that were like, you know, didn't like it too much, you know, we discovered a lot of things, you know. And sometimes things that you like and sometimes things that you don't like. And I don't know, for you as a content creator and as a person that, you know, went to school also in journalism, what are like the key components in like creating like good content? And mm-hmm. is there anything like is bad content, does it exist, or is it just like different content?
Right. So, I mean, I want to preface it with this, with the fact that I am like still learning and growing so much myself in the age of social media, but I am a pretty big geek and I love research and I'm pretty invested in this. So my brother and I both do a lot of research on the side as to how we can create the best content possible. And the three common threads that I see are number one, authenticity. So just being 100% completely yourself, not ever trying to be the next best thing or whoever you admire or look up to, but just staying really true to yourself, because that's what people will connect with or not connect with. And I think there's value in acknowledging as well that there's a vulnerability in putting yourself out there. And I don't know if you've found that, but when you write from a very personal place and you share your personal story, you're kind of opening yourself up to judgment or scrutiny or making other people feel uncomfortable. And that's something that I've had to really work on. But that brings me to my second thing, which is value. So providing valuable content. And I think that's making sure that whatever you're putting out there, having a really strong compass and questioning it all. So, you know, is this story I'm putting out there, is this post I'm putting out there, does it provide value? And does it speak to who I am at my core as well? And some of that value is literally in posting a silly thing that makes someone laugh, you know, and there you go. That's providing value to somebody that really needed that, that was maybe having a bad day. And, or it might be writing a really deep post that someone needs to realize they're not alone. So if you're struggling and you're having a tough day or you've been going through a tough time, when you open yourself up and you share that, all of a sudden someone else is saying, you too, you know, like I'm going through that as well. That's what a recent guest said on my show too. He's like, people want to know, like, you too, me too, right? And so I think that's important. And then another really important thing would be getting their attention. In this day and age, like, how do you catch their attention? And there's so much science and research behind that in advertising and marketing, going down to the fonts that you use and the colors you pick and all of that. So I'm still learning a ton in that area, but I think those are kind of the three threads that I see on a consistent basis. And that's also consistent with feeds and people that I really look up to and admire. I'm like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing. Like, nice, cool.
So do you think in like in content as well, is there anything for you as like that you would categorize as bad content, or is it just like content that doesn't interest you, or like doesn't interest like interests only a group that you don't associate with, you know?
Yeah, so I'm very careful about that, because I think there is so much judgment out there of people, and I just don't like to get down with that, you know, because I think a lot of people are doing the best they can, and who am I to judge somebody else's content or the value of it? Because maybe it's not of value to me, but then I have the power to make the choice to not subscribe to it. So it is all within our choice, right? So if it's not a value to me, that's one thing, but it could be a value to someone in their audience or their target demographic. So personally, I love things that have messages of love behind them. I don't listen to a lot of hate stuff or hateful things because I get sad, like, truthfully. I'm not naive to know that it's important to be aware of that as well and do what you can to make it a positive thing and positive changes. But yeah, I think just subscribing to the feeds that bring you goodness is really important to do.
Cool. I like that a lot. And yeah, for me, it is more like I think about it more about creating interesting content. And if you feel that you're doing that, then people will be interested in it. Yeah. And if you think about like, oh, this will be like become viral, then it will probably not work. Not become viral.
Yeah, I was just going to say, have you ever had the situation where you write something and put it out there and you're like, oh, this is a masterpiece. Like, whoa, this just flowed out of me. And you put it out there and it's like, maybe doesn't go as good.
I don't know. I try not to have like too much expectations. Because sometimes it's like the way I see it, for example, our episode, like we're doing it now. And maybe like, let's say in the next month, I don't know, let's say 50 people listen to this, you know, our discussion. And, you know, if I had to evaluate that, I would go, you know, that's not that much or whatever. Right. But like in, I don't know, maybe in 2 years, the podcast will have been, will have evolved. And our discussion will still be there.
Yeah.
And the community will be so big, then maybe in 2 months, in like in 2 years from now, and the month of July, there will be like 2,000 or 5,000 people that will listen to this same content. So it is like, you know, the way I see it, we're creating it now, and it, you know, it might become popular like next month or maybe in 2 years from now. And that's fine. You know, I used to work in software development and for R&D. And it was a little bit like that. Like sometimes I would work on a project and then like we would like commercialize it and we would sell it to other companies. But, you know, R&D is like sometimes you create something and a customer will actually use it maybe in 3 years from now, you know. So it's like you're creating something and, you know, eventually somebody, if it's good, eventually somebody will use it and, you know, maybe and you'll have feedback, you know. So maybe somebody will write to me about our discussion and like 2 years from now and said that like it really helped them and, you know, they love it and, you know, that's cool. You know, for me, it's like it was good, you know. So and also I try to go like by the quality of the feedback than the amount currently. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's a little bit like the way I, you know, evaluate my success or not. And if I want to continue also with the project, so, and try to motivate myself, you know, so that's a, like a big motivating factor for me.
You're cool. I love it. That's such a beautiful way of looking at it. And I'm trying to adopt a similar approach. And it can be, it can be challenging, I think, sometimes. But I think you're absolutely right. We just have to be really happy that we're putting something out and we're making an effort and we're trying to do good. And I do think that over time, things that are meant to be will be, and it will kind of continue to rise if that's what it's meant to happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I see it a lot like maybe like a training program. Like, let's say you start a training program, like you're not going to be like, I don't know, lose 50 pounds and become cut in one workout.
You know? Yeah, too bad.
Too bad. Yeah, there's no miracle. So it's going to take time and it's going to take like discipline. And it's the same thing like with anything, you know, any new channel that you're trying to create. Like if you're consistent about it and you try to do interesting thing, like eventually, you know, it's gonna, you know, rocket up the popularity if that's what you want, you know. You know,
yeah.
Doesn't need to become like super big either. So yeah, it went super fast, huh? So we're already like almost at 0.6. So 0.6 that I had sent you, I call it the Inspire Me moment.
All right.
So it goes with the name of the podcast. And you said like you were like a soccer player before. That's what you said?
Yeah.
I guess you still are.
not really. I will always love it. I will always love it with my full heart. But I don't really play much anymore.
But what level did you play at university? You played at university?
Yeah. So it was NCAA.
NCAA?
Yeah.
Awesome. And did you play like in like big crowds and everything? Big stadiums?
Well, we made it to the NCAA championship. So that was a pretty good crowd there. And I remember being so excited because if we progressed, we would have gotten to play against Christine Sinclair, right?
Okay.
Who's on the women's Canadian team. She's like so good. You know,
she would have been on the opposite team.
Yeah, she would have been. I think she was playing on, I want to say Portland or North Carolina. I can't remember. But I was just like, oh, wow, one day, like, I'll get to defend her. It would have been awesome. But we didn't make it to her. I mean, I think that team always won. It was, like, between Portland and North Carolina. And so we didn't make it to the final. But still, going to the NCAA championship was huge. And it was a big honor and incredible. I love those years of my life.
So which position did you play?
I was defense.
Defense?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And in that match that you played, like in that championship, like what was like the biggest crowd that was there, number of people? Do you remember?
I actually have no idea of the count, and I'm really bad with numbers and
Approximate.
Approximate?
5,000 people? 5,000?
I don't know if there were 5,000 there, to be honest. Because there were so many different games happening at once. I really don't know. I'm looking at my friend Michelle, who's tuning in live, and maybe she can type in the response because she was on the team with me.
Okay.
But yeah, okay, it wasn't a huge crowd, but it was a huge honor.
Okay. So let's say like 200 people. Let's say that.
Sure.
I'm good.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean,
awesome.
1,000 sounds way better, but realistically,
okay,
realistically,
good.
200.
Okay, I like that. 1,000. Okay. No, but I'm just trying to create like a scenario for you.
Oh, okay. You're trying to make us visualize it. I like it.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
You.
So, okay. You're in that match. Like you had like a super match, your best match. You had like 1,000 people crowd or 500, and you were named. You were the first star of the match.
You okay.
were the first star of the game. So at the end, like they give you like 3 balls to distribute because you're the first star, and they interview you, and you know everybody can listen to you, you know.
Yeah.
And so you have like 2 minutes and to inspire that crowd.
Oh, and that so, crowd! Oh my gosh!
You know,
you're really putting me on the spot.
Yeah. So what would you say to that crowd?
Okay, I would say I went from being the little blonde girl in the neighborhood over that didn't have enough money to buy soccer shorts or cleats to watching an entire community and a single parent raise money every chance she got so that one day I could live out my dream of going to the United States of America and playing NCAA soccer. And today, here I stand, proof that whatever you dream, you can make happen. And I don't want you to take that lightly. If you want something right now, go after it. Don't waste another second of your life. And dedication, hard work, determination will get you there. Now let's go party!
Awesome.
How's that?
I like that.
Now we need to pop the champagne because we just won the tournament.
Yeah. I used to run with like a few girls that they played. They were university basketball. And they told me, like, they had a saying there. It's like, their saying was, like, during the game, it was like, hey, no pain, no champagne. You have to work hard to earn the champagne at the end. I like that.
I like that. I haven't heard that. I like that.
Yeah. No pain, no champagne. So yeah. When they would run with me, like, and they go, oh, it's too fast, or we're running too much. And I would say, hey, no pain, no champagne.
I love it. We actually have a bottle of champagne to celebrate Canada Day. So now I'm thinking, no pain, no champagne. This is good.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we're at the end now. I don't know if there's anything that you want to, you know, talk about or maybe promote. I know we talked about your podcast, but maybe you have like other projects or and that you would like to talk about. So we have some few minutes to talk about that.
Sure. I would just, I mean, I'm really not here to promote anything. You know, I just appreciate the time and being on your show. Like you mentioned, we chatted about the podcast. That's really kind of my pride and joy right now and the biggest thing that we're working on. If anyone is interested in hanging with us or joining the community, they can find us on at Up Top with Taya, T-A-Y-A-H. And then we also have a website, www.uptop.ca. And we've developed a bunch of freebies as well. So if you're somebody who is like me and you've let, you know, many years of your life go by without creating a single goal, we've created a goal setting worksheet based on research that we've collected from lots of great academic sources. We also have a freebie on sustaining winning habits and how important habits are in our life. And then we also have a 7-day health and wellness challenge. And all of these are free. So anyone can just go to our website and grab them. But yeah, most importantly, I would just love to connect with anybody that may have similar values and wants to join in our podcast community. And yeah.
Yeah. So maybe something that you mentioned, but like we didn't like talk too much about it. And, you know, if you want to talk a little bit more about it. It's like you said that you're doing this project with your brother.
Yeah.
So what is like your role in the project and his role, and you know, how do you divide the task, you know?
Yeah, I wish he was here right now because he calls me the tyrant, which I don't think is accurate at all. Okay. But I would say, okay, so his role is he's the executive producer. So I knew from the beginning he'd be a huge asset to the podcast because he works in video and media production for a living. And so he actually works at the National Music Center here in Calgary, where he works with like Grammy Award winners and all this, and he gets to interview them. Yeah. So he's got that experience. So I knew he'd bring a lot in that realm. And just recently, unfortunately, he was temporarily laid off due to COVID. So now he's just like pouring his heart and soul into the podcast, and he's helping me behind the scenes with research, with content creation, with coming up with guests that we want to have on the show. We've got a couple of really exciting guests coming up that we're crossing our fingers we can get them on board. And yeah, we've always kind of been the best of friends, you know, since we were little. He always kind of took me under his wing and let me play sports with him and his friends all day and all night. So I've always looked up to him. And so to be working with him, it just seems like a very natural relationship, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So you kind of can't go wrong. We get into like the regular, we can get into some brother sister fights for sure. But overall, there's a lot of love there. And what moves me the most is really his belief in what we're trying to create, you know. And he said to me, like, the second I brought it up, he was just like, I believe in this wholeheartedly and I'm on board. And so that meant a lot to me. So yeah, he's like the greatest business partner ever.
So he's your older brother.
He's my older brother, but he does look younger. yeah. He's That's got awesome. Good genes.
And you mentioned like guests and all of that. So I wanted, like, for me, it's very like for the moment, everybody that I have invited is like people that I know.
And,
or people that like I have like personally connected with. Yeah, so for you, how do you go about that? Like, is it like all your guests, people that you know? Like maybe how do you, if no, how do you contact them? How do you get to know them?
Yeah, so initially it was some guests that I knew when I was first starting out. So for example, Stephanie Hoogveld is an incredible artist and she's online right now watching this conversation. Shout out to Steph. And she's one of my very best friends. And she gives back. Like her whole thing is painting for positive change. And I knew she had an incredible story. And unfortunately, she had gone through a lot of loss as well. She had lost her mother unexpectedly. And so we just have this bond that we'll forever have. And so we went on and we had just the best time because when you know the person, there's a natural, you know, conversation that just happens and a fun and entertaining value to it. And then another guest I have, I just like, initially I started looking around my circle and I was like, holy, there's so many incredible people right around me. One of which, Adam Tico Hernandez, is one of them. He's a musician who I met in Oklahoma. He was a graphic design specialist and he was miserable and he was a musician and he never stopped playing. And he had this dream of, you know, making it big one day. So he quit his job. He packed his car. He drove to Nashville and now he's sharing the stage with like Keith Urban, Miranda Lambert, Blake Shelton. He's playing for Lauren Elena. So he's just watching his life go there. So that was a very fun, natural, organic conversation. But since then, I've gone to a lot of people that I really admire that I was like, they were on my dream list to get. I wrote down their names the second I thought I'd start a podcast. And I was like, one day. And then, as I'm sure you're finding, you go and you pitch it to them and you ask them to be on and they say yes. And it's just like the best day ever. And so some of the people I find online or this one girl that we're going to have on, she was born without legs. Okay, well, it's just, it's an incredible story. But she was born without legs and she went on to accomplish all of these amazing athletic things in her life. And I found out about her through my, like, stepmom, who had sent me her video on, like, NBC News or something. And I was watching it and I was just, like, crying. And then I met, and then I was just like, I need to get her on the show. So I went to all the agents like who look after her. And I said, I know this is a long shot, but please just give me a shot. I promise you, I will be professional. Like this will be great. And they said, yes. And so some of the best advice I've heard from people who have been doing this for a long time is to just ask. Even if you think they'll say no, it's to never assume they'll say no and to still go after it. And so that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree a lot with that. Sometimes we have like, we put people on like the super high pedestal and it scares us like to communicate with them. And actually, you know, when you get to know those people, you like the real person, you know?
Yeah.
Like you can talk them like very naturally. So it is like when you get like a bit rid of like that that fear, you realize that the world opens up a lot more.
Yeah.
And you can like people that, you know, are like celebrities, like you can send them an email. I would say a lot of the time they're gonna answer you. And right. You can actually just create a relationship that way. And some of them are like really like connected with their community. And, you know, you can have like a pretty meaningful conversation easier than you would think.
Well, that's awesome. I have to get better at that. I can definitely get starstruck.
Yeah.
And I get so nervous. But yeah, I'm working on it for sure.
So it was great talking to you.
Yeah.
And I really like our discussion. And
my husband just
came by. What's the name of your dog?
Finnegan.
Finnegan?
Yeah, he was just telling me that he also really liked our discussion.
Yeah.
He's very communicative.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a real pleasure, and just getting to connect with you and see what you're doing in your own community is amazing. So I appreciate it.
If there anything that I can do for you later on, don't hesitate.
Okay. Yeah. Do you deliver ice cream?
Yeah, only if you come to Montreal.
Okay, perfect.
A lot of ice cream places here.
Okay, perfect. No, thank you so much, and vice versa as well. If I can support or help in any way, I'm so happy to.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, bye. Okay. Nice well, chatting with you.
Bye.
Bye. You too.
Happy Canada Day again.
Yeah, you as well.